Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. This is Robert Woolsey stepping in again for Peter Apathy, who's gone off to his day job. And joining me in the studio this morning to talk about Alaska's Own, our community-supported fisheries, Aaron Fulton. Hi, Aaron.
Hello. Good morning.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. And we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, Aaron, about how this all works. I mean, when you say Alaska's Own community-supported fishery, we're really talking about sort of one facet of this really kind of interesting system that's been set up here in Sitka. And I wonder if we could just sort of take it from the top.
Okay. So, all right, from the top.
Yeah.
Well, a community-supported fishery is actually kind of a unique and rather new sort of phenomenon in the food world. People are more familiar with a community-supported agriculture, which is where you pay a set fee to get a share of produce from a farmer throughout the season. Similar to that, you pay a set fee for a community-supported fishery and receive fish throughout the season. So that's what Alaskan Zone is. Community supported fishery. You pay up front, get fish throughout the season. And as a part of this network we were talking about is, unlike a lot of CSAs and CSFs, the Alaskan Zone difference is the proceeds from this community supported fishery goes directly back into research of the fisheries, trying to make it more efficient for the fishermen, more sustainable for the fisheries themselves. It helps funds research to the Fisheries Conservation Network.
Yeah, so I had this impression when, you know, I was sort of paying attention when it was all being set up, and I got the feeling that in order to get fishermen to participate in all the research that the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust wanted to do, it was like Alaska's Own was kind of set up to say, and, you know, on your behalf, we're gonna create sort of a way to sell your product ultimately that will help, you know, support the whole overall work.
Yeah. So the Fisheries Conservation Network has about 24 odd fishermen in their vessels that are doing a couple steps beyond the call of duty to try out a lot of new research gear, being it electronic monitoring to try to have a viable replacement for the onboard observer programs, doing different whale deterrent stuff. So they're doing, like I said, above and beyond the call of duty and trying out these newer techniques to try to be just better fishing. And as kind of a reward or acknowledgement for that, Alaskan Zone will specifically source the seafood that it uses in its share boxes from these fishermen. So we know that the fish that we're providing to our shareholders is the best possible harvesting techniques that we currently know how to use. And it gives a little more, a better connection between the consumer and the producer. We can track our fish back right to the boat it was caught on. So you have a real connection with where your food came from.
Right. So Alaska's Own is kind of the storefront for the Fisheries Conservation Network.
Yes.
Which is this sort of consortium of participating fishing boats who have agreed to work on research efforts. And then what's the relationship between Alaska's Own, the Fisheries Conservation Network, and the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust?
Well, the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust is the overarching parent program. So they're the grandmaster behind the scenes. So they run the Alaskan Zone Community Supported Fishery as a way to provide direct marketing for these fishermen who are doing research. The Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust also directs the Fisheries Conservation Network in partnership with the Alaska Longline Fishermen's Association.
And how long has it been going on? How long have you been doing this work?
Let's see. The Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust started up in about 2007. This will be the fifth year for Alaskan Zone CSF and Sitka. It'll also be our fourth year providing subscriptions in Juneau and our second year in Anchorage.
All right. And the research that you were talking about, I've seen one report, a pilot project on electronic monitoring, and these are not little, you know, I guess the projects are pretty substantial.
Yes.
I mean, the work and effort being put into electronic monitoring and sperm whale deterrence huge.
Yes, and it's a lot of effort to be put in to try to make these things a viable option for fishermen, but in the end, it pays off. With electronic monitoring, it's trying to find a good replacement for onboard observers, which when you have a small boat, to have someone else on there whose job is to pay attention, watch what's being brought on board, it gets tricky because that's just another body that is just in the way in the shuffle on a small deck and another person that you have to feed and have bunk space for. So to have a program or an option that you can have cameras and a GPS hooked up, then it might be more accurate in the fact that it can record everything no matter who's on deck. To have a better idea of what's actually going on and not have that jostling on board, so it's safer overall. With the sperm whale deterrent, tends to be a problem when you're in fishing for black cod. They're smart creatures, and they figured out that black cod line is just kind of like a buffet for them. So one of the projects that we're going to be trying out this summer is a deterrent that was actually developed in Australia that will hopefully keep the sperm whales off of the black cod lines. And so fishermen are going to be actually pulling in their catch and not losing gear.
Wow. There's been a track record of success
yes.
in Australia.
Yes, okay. There has. So we're hoping it'll pay off here as well.
All right. And this whole thing isn't funded through the marketing of fish. I mean, the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust and the Fisheries Conservation Network, I mean, are grant writing
yes.
organizations. And there's been some investment from grant funders as well.
Yes. So yeah, the payroll is definitely funded by some really great foundations who are currently... Yes, providing us with grants. The Alaskan Zone CSF is kind of a twofold thing of providing some extra revenue for the Fisheries Conservation Network, and almost more importantly is just providing a face to the community so people can have a chance to really interact with the fishermen, to talk about these current issues that are going on within the fisheries, and enjoy some really awesome seafood also.
Right. So, Aaron, when this was all being set up, was there a sense of kind of pioneering a new direction, or is there another CSF somewhere that was pointed to and said, hey, we want to be like those guys?
Not really. A lot of other CSFs and CSAs, they... The draw to them is A, you know exactly where your food is coming from, and also that you're providing a premium price to directly back to the producer. Alaskan Zone is a little different. We are the first ever CSF in the state of Alaska. And instead of having a high premium price for the seafood and to have a higher price going back to the fishermen, we're trying to keep it pretty market competitive, and we keep our costs really low. Like, we're a small office, we're not really big and flashy, so that any and all money that we make from Alaskan Zone goes directly back to the Fisheries Conservation Network.
And how does processing get done?
We work with Sitka Sound Seafoods and the Seafood Producers Cooperative in town. They have graciously allowed us to have our boats come through, and they've been great in making sure that we work specifically with certain boats and fishermen. If we flag a boat saying, hey, so-and-so is coming in with X 100 pounds of rockfish, we're going to take that for Alaskan Zone. And they'll tag that, process it beautifully to 1 pound vacuum sealed, deep frozen, great product, and keep it aside for us. So we know exactly where it came from. They've been very great with that.
I can imagine that even though you're kind of existing in a competitive marketplace, and you're dealing with a couple dozen boats, there's not a single boat in the fleet who wouldn't want to further investigate sperm whale deterrence. And there's probably not a single boat in the fleet that isn't interested in trying to revise the current monitoring.
Yes.
So the human observer program. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like it's kind of something that there's an incentive for the entire fleet beyond just the economic incentive of the two dozen participating.
Most definitely.
Boats, for sure. Aaron, how do people connect with you if they want to learn more?
Well, if they want to learn more about the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust in general, how the CSF works, the work being done by the Fisheries Conservation Network, all of that is housed on the Alaska Sustainable Fisheries Trust website, which is www.thealaskatrust.org.
Okay, that'll be posted on our website shortly after this interview. Erin, one last thing.
Yes.
Break a leg tomorrow night.
Thank you very much.
You're an actor in addition to in addition to being a CSF coordinator.
Yes, Jane of all trades.
All right. You're in the play Parfumerie opens tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Performing Arts Center.
Yes, it'll be a great show.
Yeah, if you'd like to put a face to this voice this morning, that's the place to be. Thanks so much for coming in, Erin.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.